Right. Make your way back to your seat after you've had an opportunity to meet or greet a couple of people. And let me invite you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. Our sermon series this summer has been based on the book of Proverbs, and we're coming to the end of that series really soon. As a matter of fact, I think, if I'm not mistaken, yes, next weekend will be the last sermon in this series that we've done this summer based on the book of Proverbs. And then after that, beginning on 9/11, that Sunday, I'll be teaching through and begin teaching through the book of 1 John in the New Testament. So it's been a great study for me personally this summer as I've immersed myself in the book of Proverbs and have been reminded of lots of important things, and I hope that God has used this series to do the same for you and in you. I mentioned this several weeks ago, but I want to come back to it. As a matter of fact, I said this toward the beginning of the series because I think this is something important for us to not forget. Quite often we come to the book of Proverbs, we walk away maybe from hearing a sermon or listening to a sermon from the book or on the book of Proverbs, and we sometimes walk away and we think this to ourselves. The first thing that sometimes comes to our mind for some people is, I need to live better so that my life is better. I need to live better so that my life is better. And here's what I want to say to you this morning. That shouldn't be your first thought when you walk away from any sermon, and particularly sermons like the ones we've had in the book of Proverbs, where we've talked about different themes that run through the book of Proverbs. Last week, we talked about our words. And certainly all of us were convicted as we saw what God's word, God's wisdom in the book of Proverbs, has to say about our words. Josh read earlier this morning that no unwholesome communication should proceed from our mouth. And I was reminded of last week's texts and the message and what the Bible says about that. And sometimes we're convicted and we hear what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do in terms of our words, in terms of what we say, for example, last Sunday. And we walk away and we think, you know, I'm going to live better so that my life is better. But that shouldn't be your first thought after a sermon like last Sunday's sermon, or after any sermon. But one of the reasons we may tend toward that, particularly as we read the book of Proverbs and as we hear messages on the topics and themes in the book of Proverbs, one of the reasons we may have that thought first is because Proverbs is very practical. It is a very practical book in the Bible. As a matter of fact, we've called our series this summer Wisdom That Works, because the book of Proverbs, for the most part, is showing us how wisdom does work in different practical situations and circumstances that we have and that we face in our lives. And so the book says a great deal about what wisdom does. But what we must never forget is that at the very heart of the book, it tells us what wisdom is. Or to say it another way, the book of Proverbs says a lot about what I would call wisdom's fruit. But we must not forget that it also tells us over and over again about wisdom's root. And that's what I want us to talk about, and that's what I want you to think about first and foremost when you walk away from a sermon on Proverbs or any other book in the Bible. You see, if we leave a service and we say to ourselves, first and foremost, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. If that's the first thing we say, we may be able to do better relative to maybe the way we've been doing, relative maybe to the way other people do it. But what we will actually produce is not wisdom's fruit. We won't. Because if it's not coming from wisdom's root, then we aren't really producing wisdom's fruit. And let me just illustrate that real quickly. If you guys have had kids or been around kids, you've seen plastic fruit, right? You've seen plastic toys, maybe plastic fruit, like an orange, for example. From a distance, a plastic orange looks like an orange somewhat, right? But it's not. And that's what our self-effort produces when we walk away from a sermon about something that we're supposed to do or not do, and we say to ourselves first and foremost, I'm going to do better. When our thoughts first and foremost are self-improvement, we produce plastic oranges rather than organic oranges. Because real oranges come from the root. And today I want us to remember again, and we've seen this already in the series, what the root of wisdom really is. Quite often in the book, we've already seen that we're told that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We saw that earlier in the series. We also talked about the most famous verses in the book of Proverbs earlier in the series. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge or know Him, and He will direct your path. That's the root. Those are the roots of wisdom. Fearing God and trusting God. And today we want to talk again about trusting God. And today's sermon is going to be a little bit different than the sermons have been in the last several weeks, because we've been jumping all over the book of Proverbs as we followed topics and themes. But today, I want us to talk about this, and I want us to spend almost our whole time this morning on three verses. So I'm going to preach this morning the way I normally do, or most often do, and that is just through some verses in the book of Proverbs. So turn, hopefully you're already at the beginning of the book, turn to chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, and we're going to look at verses 17 through 19 this morning. Proverbs 22, 17 through 19, as we think about the root of wisdom, which is trusting God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Listen to these verses as we begin. Proverbs 22, 17 through 19. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, if all of them are ready on your lips, that your trust may be in the Lord. I have made them known to you today, even to you. I want us to see a couple of things in these three verses as we sort of unpack them this morning. The first thing I want you to notice is the plea. The plea. The author here is making a plea. He is pleading with his son directly and specifically and personally, but God's word is also making a plea to you and me. This passage is making a plea to us. It's pleading with us to do something. And I want you to see the beginning of verse 17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. What's the author pleading for? What's his plea as he begins it? His plea is this: listen. Isn't that what he's saying? Incline your ear. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. The first thing I want you to think about with me just for a little while this morning is, what does it mean to listen well to God's word, to God's wisdom as found in God's word? How do we do that? How do you listen well to biblical preaching and teaching, like you are right now? How do you listen well to God's word, God's wisdom, as it is accurately and faithfully taught when it is? Let me give you two quick suggestions this morning for how to listen well to a sermon in light of this plea. The first thing I would say is be alert. Be alert. And let me tell you when that starts. It starts on Saturday night. It really does. It starts on Saturday night. And one of the things that I would say about this is do whatever you can. I understand some people have circumstances such that they can't, but do your best to get in bed early enough on Saturday night so that you get enough sleep before Sunday morning, so that you can be alert, so that you can listen and listen well, so that you can incline your ear. Some of you incline your head, right? Because you haven't had enough sleep. Well, there's a difference in inclining your head and inclining your ear. And so be alert. Some of you have jobs that make it impossible. You work a late shift maybe on a Saturday night. Here's a second incredibly practical suggestion. The 30 minutes right before our service, we have donuts and coffee, and caffeine and sugar are helpful, right? They can be helpful. They can help you be alert when God's words are being taught. So be alert. Number two, be active. Be active. When I announce a text, open your Bible. And when I have you turn from text to text, do that. Be active. One of the reasons we put an insert, a listening guide in the bulletin every Sunday is to encourage you to actively listen by filling in some blanks. And then there's space enough on the page where you can also write, in addition to that, things that come to mind as you're hearing God's word. Things that you think are important, things that you think are helpful. Do that. Listen actively. Be active. Open your Bible. Take notes. So he begins his plea essentially by saying, listen. Listen well. But he continues in verse 17 by adding to that. He says, I want you along with that to learn. I want you to learn. I want you to listen to my words, which are the words of the wise. I want you to listen to what God has shown me and what I have been taught of God's wisdom and God's words. But I not only want you to listen, I also want you to learn. I want you to learn well. Learn well. Listen well, learn well. That's what I want. The rest of verse 17 goes on to say, and apply your heart to my knowledge, for they will be pleasant if you keep them within you. What's he talking about when he says at the end of verse 17, apply your heart to my knowledge? And when he says in verse 18, keep them, meaning the words of the wise, the words that I'm teaching you, keep them within you. What's he saying? What's he talking about? I think he's saying essentially this to his son. Meditate. Meditate on what I'm teaching you. Meditate on these words that I'm giving you. God's words of wisdom, the words of the wise. Meditate on them. If you study the word meditate in the Old Testament, one of the things you'll learn is that it also can be translated mumble. Mumble. What is meditating? It's mumbling to yourself. Now, some people do that because of other reasons. But God's people ought to mumble to themselves because they are meditating on God's word. They are talking to themselves. You and I need to talk to ourselves. By the way, you do this anyway. The problem is some of you guys are telling yourselves the wrong things, right? One person said, our biggest problem is we listen to ourselves and we should be talking to ourselves. And that's true. We're listening to ourselves. We're just listening to the feelings and the circumstances and what we think and what we feel and what we observe about our circumstances. We're listening to ourselves and we ought to be talking to ourselves about God's truth, about God's word. That's what it means to apply your heart to something that you're taught, to knowledge, God's knowledge, the knowledge of God. Apply your heart. Keep them within you. Keep God's words within you. How do you do that? You mumble to yourself. You talk to yourself about God's word. Listen, to what the psalmist says about meditation real quickly. And I won't give you these specific references, but just listen. The book begins, the book of Psalms begins like this. Blessed is the man. And then after it tells us what he doesn't do, it tells us what he does. It says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Then later in the book of Psalms, we read these words, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you in your sight. Later he says, I remember you on my bed. I meditate on you in the watches of the night. I will meditate on your precepts. In the longest chapter in the Bible, he says a lot about this, Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. And then he goes on to say in that same chapter, your testimonies are my meditation. Meditation. We misunderstand quite often what it means to meditate. Because so many people have what I would call an Eastern understanding rather than a Christian understanding of meditation. Here's the difference. An Eastern understanding of meditation is this. Empty your mind, and then whatever thoughts come into your mind, listen to them as if they were divine. Folks, that's so dangerous. That's so dangerous. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what the Bible's talking about. Eastern meditation is emptying your mind. Christian meditation is filling your mind with God's Word and listening to it and knowing that it's divine. You see, that's a big difference. Meditate day and night. Another word that's connected to the word to meditate is the word to ruminate. To ruminate. Certain animals are called ruminating animals. A cow, for example, a camel, for example, they're ruminating animals. They're called that because of the way they digest their food. The way they digest their food. They have four stomachs, or more accurately, four compartments to their stomach. And their first one is called their rumen. And here's what they do. Let's use cows as an example. We see a few of those around here. Right? Think about what a cow does. In the morning, a cow will put his head down and eat. And tear up grass, chew it just a little bit and swallow it, and then tear off some more, chew it a little bit and swallow it. He'll do that for a while. But then after a while, the cow will go and will lay down, and he will begin to regurgitate some of the grass that he has swallowed and that has been in that first stomach. And he'll chew it thoroughly, and then he will swallow it again, and it will go to the second compartment, the third compartment, the fourth compartment. It's fully digested then, and it enters into the bloodstream of the animal. And the animal gets life that way. The animal stays alive, has strength because of this. And then he does it again. He regurgitates a little bit more. He chews it thoroughly. He swallows it. And then he keeps doing that. That's a picture. As unpleasant as it may be in some ways. That's a picture of meditation. Meditation is taking in God's word and then bringing it up again mentally and chewing on it. Chewing on it so that we digest it spiritually. And so that our soul is strengthened, and so that our soul comes alive and stays alive spiritually. That's what we all need to do. Hold your place for just a moment in Proverbs 22 and go back to Proverbs chapter 6. We actually looked at these verses in one of the messages we've done so far, but I want you to look at them for just a moment this morning. Proverbs 6, 21 through 22. 6, 21 and 22. In verse 20, the father talks about his commandments and his mother's teaching that the son has received, and he says this to his son, bind them. He's still talking about God's words of wisdom that he's taught his son and his mother's taught his son. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. In other words, they should be constantly with you. They should be constantly with you. And then he says in verse 22, when you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. God's word will talk with you. If you talk to yourself about God's word will talk to you. That's what he's saying. What you are meditating on, or what you have meditated on, will lead you as you walk. It will watch over you when you lay down. It will speak to you when you awake. Meditate. But there's one more thing he says here about learning well. The first way to learn well, the first part of learning well, is that we meditate, right? The way to learn well God's word, God's words of wisdom, is to meditate, to talk to yourself. The second is to communicate. Communicate. Talk to others about God's word. Look at the very end of verse 18. That's what he seems to me to be saying there. He says, if all of them, that is God's words, the words I've taught you, if all of them are ready on your lips, ready on your lips, you're ready to speak them, you're ready to share them, you're willing to say them. Listen, you learn when someone else teaches you, but you also learn when you teach someone else. God's word gets into your life when you talk to yourself about God's word, but then when you also talk to others about God's word. That's what ought to happen every Sunday as we're here in this place. What I'm doing right now should not be the only time that you are hearing God's word when we gather together. We should be hearing it from each other. We should be encouraging one another with God's word. What we are learning, what we've been learning. We should be sharing those things with others as we come in and as we go out and as we stand around after the service is over. We should be watching and listening for opportunities to encourage each other and to speak the truth and love to each other. That's what God wants this gathering to be. A time when His word is heard in many ways and from many different people. In addition to and supplement what you hear when I stand and others maybe at times stand to teach God's word, communicate God's word. But then notice after the plea, the promise. This is so good. Look at it at the beginning of verse 18. For they will be pleasant. He pleads with his son to listen well, to learn well God's words that he was teaching his son. And he gives him this promise about those words. They will be pleasant. They will be pleasant. You will experience the pleasure of knowing God and knowing God better through his word. If you listen well and if you learn well God's word. That's how we know God. That's how we know God is through his word. It's his revelation of himself. And so the reason it's pleasant is because when we experience the word, we experience God himself. We experience God himself. I read a while back a story. It's actually an Oriental fable. The fable goes like this. Three men on horseback were making their way across the plains one evening, and all of a sudden they came up to a mysterious stranger, and they stopped. And this is what the stranger said to them. Up ahead, you're going to cross a dried-up riverbed. You're going to cross a dried up riverbed. Take rocks from the dried up riverbed and fill your pockets and fill your saddlebags. And the next morning, you will be both glad and sad. The guys went on. Sure enough, not very far down the road, they came upon a dried up riverbed. They remembered what he said. They thought, why not? So they grabbed several rocks and they put them in their pockets. And they got back on their horses and they went on. The next morning, they woke up and they didn't at first think about it, but then they remembered what he had said. That he had said that they would be both glad and sad. So they reached in their pockets and they took out the rocks, but the rocks had become diamonds and rubies and emeralds. They were glad. They were glad, but they were also sad because they wished they had taken more. They wished they had gotten more. Listen, that's the way it is with God's Word. Through meditation, through prayer, we experience God Himself, and in Him we find great riches. We find great treasure. We find great pleasure. And all we realize is we wish we had done more, and we want to do more, because God is the greatest treasure. God Himself is the greatest pleasure that this life or the next life offers. And as I was thinking about that this week, I was thinking about how the word honey was used in the book of Proverbs. And I thought of this statement. Then I want to show you a couple of references. The more I am experiencing the pleasure of God, and I do that through His Word, right? The more I am experiencing the pleasure of God, the less I am enticed by the pleasure of sin. One of the reasons we are quite often very susceptible to the to temptation, to the pleasure of sin that's maybe dangled in front of us, is because we haven't been experiencing the pleasure of God like we should. Because the more we experience the pleasure of God through His Word, the less we are enticed by the pleasure of sin. Now look at these verses real quickly. Turn over just a page or two to chapter 24 in Proverbs. Proverbs 24, 13 and 14. 24, 13 and 14. Honey is referred to a lot in the book of Proverbs, several times. Here's one. The writer says, "My son, eat honey, for it is good. And the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet to your taste." Then look at the beginning of verse 14. "Know that wisdom is such to your soul." This is an analogy he's saying. What honey is to your taste, God's wisdom is to your soul. It's sweet. It's sweet. There's a sweetness. There's something that's pleasant about God's Word as we listen well. And as we learn well God's Word, there's a sense in which it's pleasant. Now look back in Proverbs chapter 5, at the beginning of chapter 3. And some of you will remember a while back we talked about adultery. We used this text. Remember what he said about honey in that passage? The analogy he used there? Proverbs chapter 5, the beginning of verse 3. What does he say to his son as he's warning him against adultery? He says, "For the lips of a forbidden woman drip with honey." What's he saying? There's sweetness. There's sweetness there. There's pleasure. Yeah. There's a sweetness, there's a pleasure about kissing a woman that's not your wife. There's that's why there's temptation, right? The book of Hebrews says the same thing. The book of Hebrews says that there is pleasure in sin. It wouldn't be so hard to resist, right? If there was no pleasure in sin. None whatsoever. But there is pleasure in sin. But here's what I want you to see. If you eat the honey of God's wisdom and you experience the sweetness of God Himself through His Word, then you will be less likely to be enticed by the honey of sin. You see? By the way, that verse in Hebrews goes on to say, the pleasure of sin is but for a season. That's the thing to remember. The pleasure of sin is only for a season. Yes, there's pleasure in sin, but it doesn't last. But there's greater pleasure in God. And the more you enjoy the sweetness of God's honey, the more you resist the sweetness of sin's honey. One last thing. We've looked at the plea, we've looked at the promise. Now I want you to see the purpose that he expresses in verse 19. The father who is speaking here, the writer, tells us his purpose in teaching his son God's wisdom, the words of wisdom he had taught his son. Here was his purpose. And this gets to what I said at the very beginning of the message. That your trust may be in the Lord, I have made them known to you today, even today. Do you see that? He says essentially, I have made God's wisdom, God's words, known to you, son, today. I'm teaching you these things today. And here's my purpose. That your trust may be in the Lord. That's God's purpose for you every time you leave hearing God's word preached. That your trust will be in Him. Not in yourself. Not in your efforts. But in God. That your trust may be in the Lord. Here's what I want you to see as we wrap up this morning. The New Testament says something very similar to what is implied here in verse 19 of Proverbs 22. Listen to what Romans 10 says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. The psalmist, or rather the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, understood that. He knew that faith came, that God creates faith through the hearing of His word. And so that's why he taught his son, ultimately, his ultimate goal in teaching his son God's wisdom was that he would put his faith in God, that God would create faith in his son, and that his son would trust and continue to trust and learn to trust God more through hearing God's word. By the way, that's my purpose every time I stand up, every single Sunday, that you may trust, that your trust may be in the Lord. That your trust may be in the Lord. That your trust may be in the Lord Jesus, who died for your sins and rose again so that you could be forgiven and so that you could have a new life and so that you could experience transformation through the presence and working of the Holy Spirit in your life. Saving faith and stronger faith come from hearing well God's words of wisdom. If you're here this morning and you would not identify as a Christian, let me just say, I am so, so glad you're here. I really am. My purpose this morning, my prayer this morning for you, if you don't identify as a Christian, my prayer is that God, through you hearing His word today, would do the work of creating faith in you and causing you to put your trust in the Lord, to put your trust in Jesus Christ as your one and only hope of forgiveness and of change. The majority of you here today would probably identify as Christians. My prayer, my purpose is the same. That you would also trust, that your faith would grow stronger through hearing God's word, that God's working in you through hearing His word would give you stronger faith, and that you would trust Him. Everything else we've read in Proverbs about how wisdom speaks and how wisdom deals with adultery and how wisdom deals with work and all the other things we've talked about, those are the fruits of wisdom. This is the root of wisdom, a relationship with God through faith, through trusting in Him. And that's my prayer this morning. Let's bow.